As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Final hour of power with Linnell Willingham, Toby Altizer here on B. Mitch and Finley. We'll take you up to 2 p.m. Keep it locked on the fan all afternoon long for your chance to win a pair of Caps tickets. For game one, make sure you keep it locked right here today. Every hour at 20 minutes past the hour up until 5:20, we'll give you a chance to win a pair of tickets. Next chance to win coming up in about 16 minutes at 1:20. I want to get to the Washington Wizards here because it feels like we've done like a 4-hour version of the Beltway Blitz here.
Yeah, we're hitting everything.
Talk a lot of Caps, talk a lot of Nats, talk about the Manders. Now we talk about the old DC family. And the Washington Wizards, I think, are in a very unique spot as we get geared up for this offseason. One, it's probably the most important offseason of this rebuild, and here's why.
Because they're going to get Cooper Flagg?
Well, we'll get to the NBA draft lottery coming up here in a second. If they don't end up with a top three pick in this draft, is that going to be tough? I think they're in a good spot. And it's the most important offseason for the reason you just mentioned. One, you get another chance to add a blue chip caliber prospect. But then two, building off what you were able to accomplish this past year. I think anybody that watched this group from February 1st on saw a different brand of basketball from the Washington Wizards. And I know, you know, they had multiple 15-game losing streaks. I know they took their lumps a lot. But I thought this group really improved a lot in the defensive identity of this team. I think is starting to, you know, come to the forefront here. When you bring in a Marcus Smart, when you bring in a Chris Middleton, guys that are known for their defense, you obviously get better in that category. Will Dawkins, the general manager of the Washington Wizards, spoke Wednesday about that Wizards' defensive identity moving forward.
And I think some people, when we drafted Keyshawn, didn't see him having the impact that he could potentially have defensively, but he really embraced that and got better throughout the year. Obviously, Bilal and Alex are think defense first, and the size, the length, the versatility, the ability to switch, it's kind of what we were looking for within our team. And again, we weren't where we needed to be defensively, but we have measures that we looked at. So you add the length, you add the switching. Keyshawn's block shots, Alex block shots. Last year we were 14th, this year we were 11th. So incremental gains there. But in terms of actual shot contests, we ranked 8th in the league. So we were forcing guys to take tough shots. And that's kind of what you're trying to do. I think last season, opponent two-point field goal percentage, we were like 28th. This year, we were 19th. That's a huge jump for us, especially with a young team. So we add a couple more young players. We get them a little bit more comfortable physical. Like, we're making that jump in the top half. So incrementally getting better on defense. And there's other things like rebounding. We were dead last year, moved up 5 spots. Like, we're going to continue to get better. But it's all about the focus and the mindset. And when we talked to the guys at the end of the season, they understood it and they think defense first, which is important.
Wizards getting defensive. They're going to have to if they want to, you know, really establish themselves as a long-term playoff team. And I know we're a little bit of ways away from that, but like you have to have an identity and know that, hey, when I go play the Wizards each and every night, I know one thing's for certain, two things for sure. If shots aren't falling, if the whistle's not going their way, they're going to play hard and defend. Like, what I think they did this year was kind of establish that baseline culture of, hey, this is what Wizards basketball looks like when it's going well.
Yeah, they played much better, especially once they got those vets in there with Marcus Smart, Chris Middleton. They actually started winning too many games, in my opinion. They were playing much better basketball, playing much better defensively, and seeing that identity grow, because that, to me, has been the issue for the last couple of years is defensively.
Like, yeah.
They've been able to score for the most part, but having guys buy in on the defensive end, I think that's truly the thing, buy-in, right, defensively,
right?
Because that, to me, is the big thing. Like, anybody, you know, can play defense, even if you're not the most talented, because you just got to give effort. And this team showed that. They've got some good defenders. Keyshawn, I think, is going to be a really big part of their defensive identity in years to come. I think Alex Sarr, even though he's got some work to do on his offensive game, I think he's going to be able to play a really good defensive brand of basketball just because of his size and length, ability to guard out on the perimeter from time to time as well. And I think just seeing the guys really buy into that was encouraging. So hopefully they can build off of this season. If you can get a guy like a Cooper Flagg or someone like that in here, even he's built he's a good defender. He's bought in on the defensive end. So that, to me, is the main thing, because if you want to win in this league, you got to be bought in on that defensive side of the basketball.
Wizards have the NBA draft lottery coming up next month. Last year, they did really well for themselves, ending up with three first-round picks, including Keyshawn George out of Miami. Here's Will Dawkins on what Keyshawn provided last year for this group.
I think Keyshawn's evolution is a good story for young players. The way he started the season offensively, struggling. I think the first month of the season, he was shooting like 12% from three. But from February 1st on, it was 39% from three. Never got discouraged, never doubted himself. I think I talked to you guys a couple times. They were just like, hey, I thought he was going to be this offensive player. Like, don't rush the process. But he's got size. He's got versatility on offense. Defensively, his ranks were pretty impressive. Even when we sat down the other day, I was like, I didn't think you were going to be this level defender this early. And he just kind of laughed. But our evaluators were spot on early on him. They were, hey, you need to come see this guy. I was like, okay. Like, no, really, you need to come see this guy. Didn't play well. They're like, that's not who he is. Come back again. So we have really good, passionate evaluators who stayed on Key. And we feel like we got pretty fortunate there. But defensively this year, effective field goal percentage, like the type of shots that the players take, 91st percentile across the NBA, not rookies. Like, that's high level. Blocks, 91st percentile. Like, deflections, 81st percentile. Like, the kid was very, very active, and steals a 75th percentile per position. So he was there. And you talked about the offensive stuff. I think the most telling stat or number we have for Keyshawn is he led all rookies in the NBA in on-off differential. So when he played, he has a positive impact on our team. Even when he has the ball or doesn't have the ball, whatever the role was, and that was throughout the entire season. So we got to see that growth towards the end offensively, but he's one of the hardest workers, and I'm not surprised that he had the finish that he had.
I get excited when Keyshawn George is brought up. First, everyone was calling him Keyshawn George till about January when he started knocking down shots. Will Dawkins talked about it. First month of the season, he shot 12%. 12% from the three-point line. It's crazy, right? Now that we're at the end of the season, when I stack up the Wizards young pups from Bilal Coulibaly, Keyshawn George, Alex Sarr, Bub Carrington, even add A.J. Johnson into the mix, I think before the season I would have looked at Keyshawn George as the guy that probably had the least amount of upside. Now that the season's over, I think we have to re-rank our young Wizards in terms of who has the most promise and upside going forward, man, because Keyshawn George, what he did defensively this year, and, you know, Will Dawkins alluded to some of the metrics here, that's what you need in today's day and age. If you're going to beat a Boston eventually, if you're going to be competitive with a Knicks team eventually, if Giannis stays in Milwaukee, you need multiple wing defenders. That's the thing that matters to me.
Yeah, I think Keyshawn was a welcome surprise. You knew that he had some versatility, but he was kind of thought of as that third guy that wasn't necessarily going to make a huge impact, and maybe you see what happens there. And I think offensively, I was impressed with his game as the season went on. Can do a little bit of everything. Not exceptional at any one thing, but can do a little bit of everything. And to me, almost reminds me of what, you know, when they traded for Bub in that pick, you trade away Denny Avdija. He reminds me in a lot of ways what Denny could do. A little bit of a different offensive game than what Denny has, but can help you on the defensive end. I think maybe even a little more athletic than Denny. So I'm intrigued to see what his skill set can bring, and that's why, you know, you don't mind making a move like you did to move off Denny, because you bring in a guy like Keyshawn George that you can have for cheap for a little while and see if he can have the impact that Denny had on that cheaper contract, and I think he definitely can.
One of the more underrated parts of this Wizards season, and I'm going to pat myself on the back here because I feel like I was the only one here trying to defend the Cat. Jordan Poole got punched in the face in front of all of America and then was dealt to Washington pretty much right after. Last year was tough for him, right? Moving across country, being in a different area, losing at the rate that he's never lost at in his NBA career. For him to bounce back this year the way that he did, career high in points, career high in field goal percentage, career high in three-point percentage, career high in assists and deflections, him impacting both ends of the floor I thought was really impactful. But the one thing that I wanted to continue to harp on, as I spent a fair amount of time in that locker room this year, he is the connector, he is the leader on this Wizards team, talking about Jordan Poole.
Yeah, we traded for Jordan for a reason, and we knew how talented he was. I would say the first half or first part of the season last year, like, he struggled, and I think we're all on record talking about that. But the second half of the year, he started playing like Jordan Poole. And as he got more comfortable through the summer, you got to see the year that he had this year. So he really emerged on the basketball court. BK trusted him with the ball, gave him opportunities. I think everyone knows that he had the career year in terms of points per game. He had the career year in three-point percentage, but I don't think enough people talk about he had a career year with steals. Like, he had a career year in blocks. He had a career year in assists. Like, he impacted both sides of the ball and got better. And that was the kind of development plan for him. And you got to let Jordan be Jordan. And I think Brian did a good job of that. But inside the locker room, he kind of took a lot of ownership of the environment here and took some of the young guys under his wing. And again, Chris and Marcus, when they got here, really helped him and see the game. Like, those are championship-level players, and he was one as well. So he felt good about the season he had, as he should feel good about the season he had. But Jordan Poole's a big-time player. Like, we knew what we were getting with Jordan.
I know everyone wants to trade him away. I think he's your best young asset right now. 25 years old, walking 20, 25-point-per-game score. Impacts both ends of the floor. You saw what he did defensively last year. The leadership thing to me stands out because it's a super young team. Their opening night lineup was the youngest in franchise history. They were the second youngest team all year long. His impact in the locker room, I think, is just as important as his impact on the floor. A Bub Carrington, a Keyshawn George, a Alex R. Him and Bilal are like this, like they're locker mates. Like, I think he deserves a ton of credit for him being able to change his mentality and put team first in a difficult situation.
I think people forget how young he is, and so I think he's actually been a really good leader. I didn't necessarily believe that he was going to be, but I think he's been such a good leader for these young guys because he can relate to them while also still having a championship pedigree from his time in Golden State. So I think having that in the locker room is huge for these guys. And having a guy that they can depend on as a legitimate scorer. I mean, his ability to get a bucket is up there with just about anybody in the league. Honestly, when you go watch this dude in person, I don't know how anyone ever guards this guy. He's back tough. And forth, I mean, it's insane what he's able to do. So having that as a piece, I don't think he's a number one on a championship roster, but having him be a part of this organization to help some of these young guys along while still being a really good player on the floor, which was kind of slept on all throughout the season, his ability to score the basketball was huge. So, you know, we'll see what his long-term future is, but I didn't think that I would have been fine with him kind of being the vet for these young guys. I'm actually, after watching him this season, totally fine with him being the experienced vet in the room for, you know, Bilal and for Bub and these guys that are just coming into this team.
We'll talk about it a little bit more in the next segment, but, like, if you had to inject me with truth serum right now, I'm saying he's here for the long term. 25 years old, doing the things that he can do offensively is huge. You mentioned the veteran leadership. When they traded for Marcus Smart at the trade deadline, that to me was like the move that signified, hey, you know, we're getting serious about this rebuild. We're bringing in a guy that's going to help our culture. Here's Will Dawkins talking about the impact of Marcus Smart.
When Marcus first got here, we talked about, hey, I'm very familiar with you. Like, I lived in Oklahoma when you were at Oklahoma State. I saw you a ton. I know what you're about. I still got family in Massachusetts that are huge Marcus Smart fans just for how you play the game. And his time in Memphis wasn't what he thought it was going to be. Not his fault, not Memphis's fault. Sometimes it just doesn't work out. And we told him, I want you to be you. I want you to kind of help yourself get back to being yourself and finding your joy. And I think he found that here. He told us that. And obviously he played really well, shot the ball really well, defended. But I said, we also need you to play the role of someone who can uplift people. And he made me better. He definitely elevated the staff and just how we scout and game plan. And he really helped all of our players. It's not just Alex and Bob and the young guys. He made Jordan better. Like, Jordan's looking to his right. I got Marcus Smart with me. Like, I can do a little bit more. So the impact he had on the organization in the short amount of time he was here, and even when he injured the finger again at the end of the season, he was bringing a lot of value inside the locker room and even in the timeouts. So for a defensive player like Marcus Smart, who is elite and has been elite for a long time, to see some defensive signs in Alex Sarr tells us a lot.
Yeah, for sure. And you got to think about it, right? When you're rebuilding like this and you're tearing things down to the studs, how rare is it to get two stud veterans in your locker room like a Chris Middleton, like a Marcus Smart? It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. Like, this is the perfect situation right now. And I know we had this conversation a couple of weeks ago, Toby. We were being funny. I just feel like they're further ahead. They're in a better spot in their rebuild than I anticipated when the season started. I didn't expect this growth from the young pups the way that they got it. I didn't expect the second half of the season to look the way that it did. I'll be fully, totally honest and transparent. I was ready to fire Brian Keefe after January 1st because the effort wasn't there. They were getting blown out every night. But since February 1st, since the trade deadline when they acquired the veterans and they started to establish an identity, they have played a hell of a lot better. A lot more to get to. About 40 minutes left to go in the program. Beat caller number 9 right now to 800-636-1067 to win a pair of tickets to Game 1 for the 2025 playoffs with your Washington Capitals. Monday, April the 21st versus Montreal at Capital One Arena. For tickets and more event information, visit thefandc.com.